The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
It was about 16 years ago, give or take. I was working here at Crossroads, and at that time, I was the junior high youth pastor. And I was working late, and I was getting hungry. And I never bring lunches to church. Rarely do I bring lunches to church because there are a lot of fridges around here. And there are a lot of leftovers that get stuffed in those fridges. And so as I got hungry, I decided I just was going to go roaming through those fridges, and I know where they all are. And so I was roaming through, and I realized today was going to be better than a fridge day because I smelt coming down the hallway food from the cafeteria. And there was a table set out there, and there was no food on it, but I could smell it had been there. And no one was there, but everybody had gone to the chapel, so I knew I wasn't far behind. And I pop into the kitchen, and Maggie was working at the time. Maggie was our cook, and I said hi to Maggie. And you know that if you're cooking food and someone says hi to you, they don't really mean hi, right? You mean, I'm hungry, what is there, right? And I said hi to Maggie, and she said hi back, and she says, would you like anything? And I was like, I had noticed sitting right there is the cheesecake, right? Those Maggie pieces, they were huge, right? With the cherry pie filling on the top, best thing ever. So I said to Maggie, I want one of those. And so Maggie handed me one, and I headed up to my office, and I had my cheesecake, right? And I went right past Jordan Kavanaugh's office. Pastor Jordan was working, and it's evening. He's going to be hungry too. So I sort of slowed it down on the way by, right? And he sees it, and he knows where I got that from. So he makes tracks down to Maggie. He comes back probably about 3 minutes later, and he does not have the cheesecake. Well, he has the cheesecake. He's got this huge plate of turkey dinner. Huge plate, and it's like piled high, the loads and loads of turkey, the potatoes, those carrots with the garlic and butter on them, the Caesar salad. He's got this whole, he's got the mother load, right? And I'm like, Jordan, how'd you get that? And he's like, well, I asked Maggie, what was there for food? And she's like, well, there's the turkey dinner or there's the cheesecake. And Jordan's like, I'll take both. And I'm not dumb. I go back down and said hi to Maggie again. Right, I got myself some turkey dinner, and it was a good day. It reminds me of a verse I wanted to talk to you about today, and it's in John chapter 10, verse 10. And it's just as a short sentence Jesus said. And like a lot of things that Jesus said, it's one of those sentences that it's how he says it that starts to sort of get stuck in your mind. So he doesn't sort of, it's not as straightforward, it's just, he could have said it one way, but he does a twist on it. And I want to read it for you. John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life. Jesus is saying, I have come that they may have life. Anything Jesus is giving you, we should be going, I want that. And when Jesus is handing out life, we go, count me in. But that's not a period sitting in the end of that sentence. There's a comma there because it says this, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I think Jesus says it that way because he wants to get in our heads and we're supposed to ask, did I get life or did I get life to the full? How would you know? Did I get the cheesecake or did I get the turkey dinner? So today I want to take you on a journey because you know what I find often in my life? I get part of the good news. There's part of the good news that is easier for me to get. And then there's a part that I miss it. And so I want to take you on a journey and I need to do it in a different sort of way. I need to do it visually. Because if you were to just listen to Jordan and I talk about our food, I want you to imagine this was before I got the turkey dinner. I just have the cheesecake. And if you were to listen to me talk just with your ears, I would say something like, wow, this is incredible. Maggie is an incredible cook. I cannot believe how good this tastes. This is so, so satisfying, right? Maybe not that like regurgitated, but that's what I would say, something like that, right? And what would Jordan say? He's got both, remember? Wow, this is so good. Maggie is such a great cook. I was hungry and this is really gonna satisfy. You hear it? It sounds the same. Because we talk the same about things. You don't always hear the difference. based on what it sounds like, you can't tell what you have. And I think sometimes in my walk with God, if I just listen and I'm sort of like trying to pick up what people are saying, it can sound like they're talking about the exact same thing. I can't tell if they've got life to the full or if they just have life, because it sounds the same. So I'm going to show you, at least I'm going to try to. All right, let's get this out of the way. This is supposed to be a bathtub. And this is you. And I'm not saying you're big and round. I'm saying this is where you store your life. So imagine with me, this is your container that you stick your life in. Okay? And I'm not talking life like how old you are life or how many years you have left life. It's not like the tub gets smaller the older you get. Okay? I'm also not talking about life like when you ate the cheesecake and now you've got all those calories and you're trying to burn those calories and you're that sort of life. I'm not talking about that kind of life. I'm talking about a kind of life that we use in an expression a lot, but we don't often define well. I'm talking about the kind of life that if someone said something really, really cool to you, they took you aside and they just had these words of affirmation, and it's that feeling you get, right? Where you just go, you feel like you're taller. You feel like life is good again, right? That sort of life. It's the sort of life we're talking when you say about somebody, they are living the life. She's living the life. What we're meaning is like she's experiencing something because she's talented. She's maybe got a lot of money. She drives a cool car. She's whatever. We go, they have a lot of life. It's the kind of life that we're talking about when you're sitting in Hawaii and it's February and it's minus 30 in Red Deer and you lean back on your cot and you're like, this is the life. That's the kind of life, right? That's the kind of life that we stick in our life container, okay? Now you also noticed that our life container is broken. You can see all the holes and the cracks, right? That's because we've bumped along life, right? And this life isn't a really pleasant one always. And we've said, or we've had a lot of stuff happen to us. People have hurt us, right? And because of that hurt, we get insecure. We wonder if it's gonna happen again. We wonder if we're doing enough. And we lose a lot of life just worrying about, will it happen again, right? And it's not just other people's fault, it's also our fault, right? Because as we got hurt, we did our fair share of hurting others. And we are now going, we've got this shame, we've got this stuff that we do, right? And that works like cracks in our tub where we're going, I don't know if I have a lot of worth. If you really know what I did, if you really knew what I was capable of, how I can hurt, right? And then we're sitting there when we're losing the life. Now, there's another broken part about this tub, and I want to point it out to you because you're sitting at the back, you can't see it. It's right here. Right along here, something broke off. And it's been broken off for so long in our lives, we would hardly recognize it. In fact, we were born with it broken off. It's supposed to be a tap sitting there. There's supposed to be a life source coming into the tub. It's supposed to be an easy life source where it is just flowing in. But it's not there. And it wasn't there when we were born, and it wasn't there when Pastor Dan was born. It goes way, way back further than that. It's back when Adam and Eve were in the garden. See, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they decided that they were going to be like God. And more specifically, up until this point, God was the person who was the tap in their life. Everything they wanted just came from him. They didn't choose it. They didn't pick it. They didn't get to evaluate. They just, whatever God gave them was theirs. That was their situation. They had the tap. But then they wanted to know good from evil. Why did they want to know what good from evil? Because they were going to be like God and they were going to decide what they were going to stick in their tub. What happens if God was not giving them everything that all the good that there was out there? So they decided that they were going to take that in control, and they sinned and they separated themselves from God. And God in his holiness and his goodness could not be in the same. We were parted, and therefore the tap was broken. So we were all born like this. This is what it means when Paul says we were born in Adam. We inherited this tub. Some people inherit $1 million. Some people inherit a cool house. We inherited this. We got it from Adam. And we've been living with this for so long that we've also got a new system, or we had to come up with a new system, which isn't new anymore. It's something that we do all the time. See, we can't get life from the tap anymore, so we have to come up with a different system. So we come up with buckets. Right? This is how we have to gather life. We have to go into our world. We have to go to the resources of the world, or we have to go to people of the world, and we have to figure out how to get life from them. And we take this life and we put it in a life tub, but we're running out, and so we have to keep doing that. And this is so, so important to us. It is so important to us that it's become basically our identity. You know how I know that? If I was to ask you, who are you? The first thing you'd probably tell me is your name, right? And say I was one of those sort of cheeky know-it-all sort of guys that were like, yeah, but that's your title, right? Who are you? You're probably gonna start talking about how you fill your tub, what you do. Well, let me tell you, this is what I do. This is who I am. You start describing your buckets. You start describing the people that you receive life from. See, that's not who we are, right? If I bark, I don't just become a dog, right? Just because I'm doing something, we get that, right? But somehow this doing bit feels like us, all right? We learned this as little kids, receiving stuff. See, we find a bucket as a little kid. If you're a parent, you probably have kids like this. If you don't, consider yourself sometimes blessed. My kids have a bucket called the information bucket, right? This is information that they have that dad doesn't have, right? And so if they tell dad information that he doesn't have, dad usually is excited about that. And I'm like, whoa, no way. And they get a little bit of life in their bucket. And then they go and they dump it into the tub, right? And so they're waiting for me as I come down the driveway. And you get home and they're waiting right next to the door. And my daughter goes, guess what, Dad? Right? There's the bucket. And then she's got another one too, the I'm really, really talented bucket. Guess what, Dad? I got 100% on my math test. And Dad goes, wow, good job, Adia. And she takes her life and she's all happy with herself. And life is good for her. But then as we get going in our lives, we realize that the buckets change, right? You might have had a great body bucket. People really paid attention to you because you were good looking or you were fast. How many boys like to tell? 4-year-old boys, what do they love to say? Want to see how fast I am, right? We have these buckets and we realize that if we get faster, if we get better looking, if we can somehow dress better, our buckets grow. Right? And if you're 44 and bald, your bucket shrinks. Right? So you got to come up with a new bucket. Right? Because this one's not giving you a lot of life. Trust me. Right? Some of you guys know that. I won't tell you who. So my daughter figures out how to get the bucket bigger. She tells a story to go along with it. Right? Great story. Right? And she's going to drag this one on because the longer the story lasts, the longer she can get a little bit of life from me. Right? And it sounds something like this. Hey, Dad, you know those green apples we bought the other day? Yeah. You know the ones with the really, really tough skin because they're the green ones and I don't really love the green ones? Yeah. You know how like they hurt your teeth and you make your teeth bleed? Okay, I know. Mom bought them, not me. Why are you telling me this? Well, and she's going on. And on, because she's hoping to get a little bit more story, right? And just before she gets to the punchline, all right, you might have this sibling at your house. Maybe you were the sibling. What do? They've been listening, right, as my daughter's been explaining the storyline, and they realize they know the punchline, right? And so from the living room, they call, Dad, Adia lost a tooth, right? And sparks fly. Right? Emotions go crazy. People run to their beds. People get in timeouts. There's chaos, right? Because someone stole my daughter's life. She was wanting that in her bucket, and now he just took it, right? And so they learn, don't they? Now you come home from work, and it is just punchlines, right? They don't even tell you the story anymore. You just hear just the last bit of everything, right? Mom's mad, ate a cookie, 100%. Cat caught a mouse, right? And you're like, what are you doing? They are not wanting to share. They're realizing that this whole life world is competitive. You have to fight to get to the front. You have to make sure your bucket stays bigger than everybody else's. If it's not bigger, you either have to put them down or you got to figure out a way of switching buckets. And then we have our other buckets. They're more like our medication buckets. See, medication buckets are different than the rest of the buckets because these are the buckets that don't require anything of us, right? These ones, we have to be talented. We have to be good looking. We have to be kind, right? Medication buckets, we just have to take them, right? They're things like alcohol. They're things like what we look at on the internet. They're things that they just can fill us and they do not ask us for anything. Right? They just sort of, and you know what? We don't love it, but it's sometimes life. So we've got all these buckets. And this is what our world looks like. We have to go outside of ourselves in order to get life. Someone described it pretty grossly, but pretty accurately as this. This scenario here is like two ticks and they're sucking blood, but there is no dog. Right? It's gross. And that's what this feels like. There is not enough life. And there's this jockeying and there's this competition. There's judging and there's harboring all this anger or we're smoldering because of what someone has done to us because we live in this world. Let me jump to the good news part. This is what the good news looks like. You can see it right away, right? There's a life source. How do we get that life source? We got that life source because Jesus died on the cross for us. That when Jesus and his Father figured things out, they worked it out, and his life, his innocent life, was going to be enough to pay for my sins and for your sins, for the world's sins. And he didn't just pay for my sins. He gave me an opportunity. Or he was able to draw close. It is not just that I don't have to worry about my sins anymore. That was part of it. The better part of it was that Jesus was working towards this. He was trying to put back the life source. So the good news is that my sins are forgiven. There's a life source on my tub. And wouldn't you know it? Jesus said when he was leaving, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you there. And so another part of the good news is that we have heaven. So I want you to ask yourself, do you have life or do you have life to the full? Now you're still going, I think I'm following you. But I want you to check something because this is what happens in my life. I get the forgiveness part, right? I'm forgiven. I get that. I've learned that from a little age, right? I knew I was a rotter, right? I knew that if Jesus didn't forgive me, I was hooped, right? I got the forgiveness part, right? And I also got the heaven part. The heaven part was the best part. I loved hearing stories about heaven as a kid. I've known that and my heart has believed that fairly easily for me. But it's the stuff in between. It's the, Jesus put it this way. John 7:37. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Rivers of living water will flow from within them. That's what this is a picture of. And it was the rivers of living water part that I was going, I don't get that. See, because my experience was telling me something that was different than what I was hearing, and I was starting to go, I think my experience was starting to sort of mark what I believed. What I thought was I was forgiven, and the life part I didn't experience, so it's really easy to tag that onto the heaven side, right? I'm forgiven. I don't have life and I don't have a lot of it, but like, you know what they're talking about? They're talking about heaven. That's when you're going to get life, right? And so I was left in this place where I was always sort of going, I like what I have, it's good news, but it feels weird because I have to wait till I die to get it, right? What I forgot was that I was baptized. And you go, how is that important? I want you to think about what the pastor said or the person that was baptizing you said when you were baptized. Now, you might not have heard it because they shoved you underwater while they were saying it. But you heard what they said to everybody else because they're repeating something that Jesus told them to say. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we were baptized a while ago, and I want you to notice that this happened a while ago. Baptized means to shove right in the middle of, to be surrounded by. That's why when you're baptized in water, that's the picture. It's everywhere. It's all over you. And what are you baptized into? It wasn't just three names they said when you got wet. You were baptized into the middle of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's where you are. It's not where you will be when you die. It's where you are right now because you were already baptized. That's how I know that my tub is full, is that when you are surrounded by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you cannot look anywhere without receiving life. It is everywhere. And I miss that part. And then there was the part of, I didn't feel like I was experiencing it. And so I just was going, something is wrong with my experience. And I thought, since my experience wasn't correct, something, I was missing something. But I want to tell you this because I think it's true. It is not necessarily true that just because you don't experience life that it's not there. Okay? I want you to think about this. I want you to imagine that while you've been sitting here for the last 15 minutes, you have a good friend and they have four or five people around them. And that friend of yours was talking about how awesome you are, how great you are, your character, right? What you stand for, what you live. And they have just been like, they have been bragging about you to their friends for the last 15 minutes. Now I want to ask you this. Did you get life from it? Oh, you were here, right? You didn't hear it, right? You didn't get to receive it because you were here. It just, you were missing it because you just haven't heard it yet. It's not that the life wasn't there. It wasn't that they weren't saying inaccurate things about it. It was all true. It was all real, right? But we can miss it because we're just somewhere else. And this is where I normally am. See, because when I heard life, I have a default because I was born that way. And where's my life? Where's my life come from? It comes from the buckets, right? I heard life. I heard out there doing something, right? Life here is staying here. But I didn't know that. I thought life was somehow Jesus or God and a bucket, right? That somehow Jesus was gonna make my life and my bucket become more. I'm gonna get so much life now that I got Jesus in my bucket. I'm gonna be able to run back and forth and I'm gonna have an overflowing tub. That's how I heard it. Right? So I had to go back through my buckets and I had some buckets that I couldn't really connect Jesus to. I had to get rid of my sin buckets, right? These are the buckets that you're just like, I'm glad none of you guys know about, right? And some of them are pretty big. So I had to get rid of my sin buckets. And then you're kind of like, how does Jesus and TV work? Right? And you're like, that's not super good. I need more buckets. I need new buckets. And so great ones to get are the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Let's make those into buckets, right? Because it sounds biblical, right? It sounds like Jesus said, if I was to follow him, this is what my buckets would look like. I would have love, joy, peace, patience, right? And so I get my love bucket, and I get Jesus, and I think somehow this is gonna work. I'm gonna get life here. And I get nothing. And so then you're like, oh yeah, that's silly me. You actually got to do something. Come on, Rob, you know this. Do. You always have to do, right? And so I take my Jesus and my bucket, and I'm like, Jesus loves you, right? And it's good for you to hear. It's good for the people I hear, if I say that to hear. I'm not saying that's an inaccurate statement or not worth hearing, all right? But what I'm trying to say is it doesn't put life in your bucket. right? Because life, we're trying to get out here. And so we run into problems, and the Pharisees were good at this sort of stuff. The Pharisees had God and the law, right? And they had their buckets, and they were trying to make their buckets get life as well. Remember? They're fasting. They're fasting, and they're sitting there, and they're fasting for God's sake, and they're starving, and it's been hours. And they're looking at their bucket, and they're not getting life. So what do? They go back to what they did before. You have to go to other people, silly, in order to get life, right? And more specifically, you know who gives you more life? The people who know the laws, the people who go to your church, right? Because they know how the system works, right? And so the Pharisees are walking around, and they're just like, they're weak, and they're hungry. They're like, I don't know if you heard my stomach there. It's just, it's growling. It's been hours. I can't tell you hours since what, but it's been hours. And they put makeup and stuff. They put ashes on their heads to make themselves look really pale. So they look like they were not making it, right? Because they're waiting for that. Why are you so ill? Fasting for God's sake. Right? And they would get a little bit of life in their bucket. Right? You know what? I've done 2 days. Get some more life. My record, 7 days. 7 days, yeah. They get more life. Right? And then on and on they would go. And Jesus said this about them, that they are people, and it would be accurate of us as well, that with their lips, they sound like me. It looks the same. With my lips and with your lips, we can sound a lot like Jesus. We can repeat a lot of the stuff we believe, and it's not because we believe inaccurately or that we don't believe it. It's just that's what our mouths can do. But it is a total different thing trying to get your heart to do something. You want to know why? Your heart does not follow correct doctrine. It follows life. Your heart does not follow correct doctrine. It follows life. And so if you go long enough in this world and there's not a lot in your buckets, what do you end up doing? Your heart gets more and more desperate for life. And what do we see all around us when someone is incredibly desperate for life? They're willing to hurt themselves or others just to get it. And what do we end up doing? We end up back over here, right? I hope Jesus doesn't see this, but this is what my heart wants. This is what my heart desires. And it's not because we didn't have the right Bible verse to go with it. It's not because we didn't know that this was sin and that God is not impressed with this and this is not how we were supposed to be living our life. We knew all of that. But the truth is that our heart picks life. And if there is not another alternative, it picks the best life that is going. And so I end up back in this place. So let's go back to this picture. See, this is the part that I heard. I heard this. What would Jesus do? That's important, Rob. What would Jesus do? I even had the bracelet back in those days, the WWJD ones, right? And I would go and I would do. You know what I should have been asking myself? And I'm not saying that doing for the sake of Jesus is bad, but there's a problem if that's what you're doing first. What I should have asked myself is, how did Jesus do it? See, because I couldn't do what Jesus was doing. How did Jesus do it? He received. He received his life from God. That's why he keeps saying, I did not tell you anything unless the Father told me. The Spirit is who tells him to go around. He is listening. He is receiving this. That's how he's living his life. And when you're receiving this, guess what happens to you? It sounds like something Jesus said. You know you're not supposed to commit adultery. But guess what? You also don't find yourself running over there looking for lust either. Why? Because your heart has got a better life. You know you're not supposed to murder, but guess what you also find? You're not running over there hating in your heart because your heart is now onto something different. All right? This is the good news. The news is that it's right here. You don't have to go looking for it. Right? As soon as you go outside of yourself, the way we always do it, we are messing it up because we actually haven't received. Right? And if we haven't received, all we're doing is copying what we think it would be like to receive. I want you to think of the woman, the Bible calls her a sinner. And she does an incredible job at loving Jesus, at loving God. What does she do? She gets a perfume jar and she pours it all over Jesus while there's a bunch of people sneering and scolding her for wasting her money. Right? She is crying at Jesus' feet. She's kissing his feet. She's wiping his feet with her. If there's ever a good picture of loving, that would be it. Loving God. But why did Jesus say she loved so well? Because she received. Because she was forgiven a lot. That's why she's doing such a good job loving. So could I remind you of two things? Two things that I think sometimes makes it so you get the cheesecake and you don't get the full turkey dinner. The first one is that you already have life and you already have life to the full. You were baptized into this. You were pushed right in the middle of the Trinity. You have it. It's yours. You don't have to wait till you die. You just have to receive it. And the second part is don't go running out there. You won't find it here. I spend so much of my life practicing this. It doesn't go anywhere. I'm 44 and I've made no progress out here. All right? The only progress I've made has been this way. And now you might be saying, but I'm not sure how to do that. To be honest, neither am I. But this is our promise. Jesus said before he left, right, that I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to send you someone. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit and he will teach you. Because this changes, right? My life experience changes. I find my heart running for different things. And so I just can't tell you the exact way of doing it because it will be different. It'll be different for you. You need the Holy Spirit to teach you how to stay put here. Remain in me. I am the vine, right? We have to stay here.